Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of Jude, and today I want to continue to look at what Jude taught about God is able to keep us from stumbling. So let's read Jude verses 24 and 25 again together. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God our Savior through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen. Now in these two verses, Jude is dedicating this entire epistle to the God who is able to keep us from stumbling. Now notice that when Jude says that God is able to keep us from stumbling, Jude does not say that God will always keep us from hardships or trials or tests or persecutions or tumults or afflictions, but that God has promised to keep us from stumbling. And Lord willing, I want to go into that on the broadcast today. Now, even though the scriptures are clear that it is the will of God to override the tendency of saved people to wander off into sin and stay there, the scriptures are equally clear that it is also God's will that those who are born again be tried and tested. And through the fire of our trials, those things that are still in our lives after we are saved that are sinful and displeasing to the Lord will be exposed to us, and we can repent of them and overcome them. And the method or the means that God has chosen to expose and remove those things in our lives is by and through the fire of tests and trials. In the Bible, this fire is called sanctification. And the fires of sanctification is the lifelong process that begins at the very moment we have been justified by grace through faith in Christ alone and extends all the way through our natural life until God takes us home to glory. And every believer, both man and woman, both old and young, goes through this process. And although many times sanctification involves things that are painful and confusing to us, sanctification is not designed to kill us. Neither does sanctification occur because God is angry with us. The Bible says that this glorious process of being tried in the fire of sanctification is specifically designed by a kind and loving God to mold and shape us into the very image and likeness of Jesus Christ. Let's read John 15, verses 1 through 3. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Now notice here that the Apostle John is quoting Jesus in this passage, and Jesus is saying three things to all believers. Number one, Jesus is the true vine, and that means that there are false vines, but Jesus is the true vine. Number two, genuine believers are the branches. Number three, God is the vine dresser, the one who is in charge of pruning the branches. So notice the order of things here. We are not the vine, nor are we the one who does the pruning. We are simply and only the branches. Now also please notice very carefully what Jesus said in verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. Notice first that Jesus said every branch. So every soul who is washed in God's blood and who has been justified by faith alone is involved in this pruning. No believer is exempt from sanctification. The reason why we are all involved in the process of sanctification is that even though we are born again, we still have things in our lives that are displeasing to the Lord. The Reformers called this the dual status of all saved believers. We have been justified by faith and have been declared to be righteous by God imputing the righteousness of Jesus Christ to us, but we are also at the same time still sinful. So we are both justified and sinners at the same time in the same body. You see, dear friends, saved people are righteous only in the sense that the righteousness of Jesus Christ has been imputed to them by faith alone. The righteousness that all saved people have is not their own righteousness, but is a foreign or external or an alien righteousness that does not belong to us and will never belong to us. The righteousness that Christians have is the very same sinless, spotless righteousness of Jesus Christ. And we did not earn that righteousness, neither did we work for it, neither did we deserve it. But the righteousness of Jesus Christ that God credits or imputes to us is obtained through the vehicle of faith alone. What a glorious thought. And you need to know that this is the one single point that distinguishes biblical Christianity from every other religion and philosophy on earth. Every man-made religion and every man-made philosophy teaches the very same thing, that we humans have to build up our own personal righteousness by doing good deeds or by obeying moral laws or by keeping church sacraments or by working real hard in order to develop our own righteousness in order to go to heaven. All religions except biblical Christianity are based upon this one single faulty premise, and that is why every religion on earth beside biblical Christianity is false and base and unable to save anyone. You see, beloved, because we are all fallen, at our very heart we are all pagans, and we instinctively believe that we have to do something to earn salvation. So we try to improve our own lives by becoming educated or becoming wealthy or by becoming sophisticated or by adding information and status and possessions and power to our lives. We instinctively want to improve ourselves, and many are successful in doing that as far as natural life is concerned. And that's a good thing, to a point. We can and we should try to speak and live and learn better all the time. We should all be in constant state of trying to be the best that we can be and to do the best that we can do, but we should do this for the glory of God and not for ourselves. The problem occurs, however, when we transfer that logic over into the Spirit. You see, our separation from God that began with the fall of Adam in the garden and was imputed to every soul at the moment of conception is not about a lack of information. Our problem is not a lack of money or a lack of status or a lack of prestige or a lack of power. No, no. Our one single problem is sin. And we are all born into that very same sin of Adam, and we are shapen into that very same iniquity. And the sin of Adam poses a double problem for all of us. We all are conceived with the very same sin nature of Adam that will manifest itself in every human on earth as soon as we reach the age where we can act out on that sinful nature. You may have already noticed that you do not have to teach your own children to rebel against you. Your children rebel against you precisely because they have the very same sin nature of Adam that they got at the very moment they were conceived. You love them and you raise them and you provide for them, and they will look you in the eye and defy you to your face. No one has to teach them to do this. They do it for the same reason you did it. We all have the very same sin nature of Adam. Some people manifest this sin nature openly and boldly, while others manifest their sinful natures more discreetly and quietly. But nevertheless, every man, woman, and child on earth, in every culture, in every nation, has the same sin nature that was in our father Adam. And that would be bad enough. And most people stop right there when talking about this sin problem. But the truth is that we have a second problem about sin. Not only does every human on earth have a sin nature that lies inside them waiting to manifest itself, we also have a very real problem with the very sin of Adam itself. You see, the Bible says that we are born with the same sin nature of Adam, and we are also personally guilty of the very same sin that Adam committed in the garden. You see, when our father Adam rebelled against God, he was standing in his federal position as a representative of the entire human race. And when he sinned against God, we sinned, for we were yet in his loins. So not only do we have this same nature of rebellion toward God, we are also personally guilty of Adam's sin. And this is what is called the doctrine of original sin. And we need to know and learn this doctrine, because if you get this right, everything else about God in Scripture will fall into place. But if you get the doctrine of original sin wrong, or you get only part of it, then your view of God and of sin and of salvation itself will be off base. So we are guilty of the sin of Adam at the very moment of conception, and as we grow up, we will eventually manifest and act out Adam's sinful nature. So both of these are true. We have the sin nature and we are personally guilty of Adam's sin. And this means that no one is what we would call innocent in God's eyes. No, all humans are guilty before God and all humans are sinful in God's eyes because all humans are personally guilty of the same sin that Adam committed in the garden. Now, most people have no problem at all with the first part of the doctrine of original sin. Most everybody will readily accept the fact that all humans are born with the same sin nature of Adam, and most people will accept that when they grow and are able to manifest that sin nature, they will. That's the easy part of this doctrine. It is the second part where people get hiccups. Now, before we go any further, I want you all to understand something. I realize that many of you have never heard this kind of teaching before. Many of you have known that humans had the same sin nature of Adam, but you've never been taught that we are also personally guilty of the same sin of Adam. And I understand that this may sound strange to you, but this is the very reason why I'm on the radio. Many of us were not taught rightly. I wasn't taught rightly about these things either. Many of you love the Lord and are trying to serve Him with all your hearts, but you're running into inconsistencies with what you believe and what the Bible says is true. I understand that. And this is a serious problem in our day. And we are experiencing these glitches in our theology precisely because we do not know the Bible and we're not being taught the Bible. For some strange reason, many leaders in the church are more interested in giving people an emotional high than they are in giving people the truth and what we need to live our lives for God, and that is why we need this kind of teaching. I didn't invent the doctrine of original sin. The doctrine of original sin was hammered out by Augustine about 1700 years ago, around the early part of the 4th century, in his controversy with Pelagius over human free will and grace. You may remember that we discussed the Pelagian controversy earlier in this study of Jude. Pelagianism is one of the seven major heresies that, although is very ancient, is nevertheless alive and well and being preached at a church somewhere near you. If you are not familiar with this issue, go to the internet and search for the Pelagian controversy and read about it, or you can write or call me. I'll send you the CDs of those earlier broadcasts. So it is fine if you don't like the doctrine of original sin, and it's fine if the doctrine of original sin makes you uncomfortable. You can reject it and say you don't believe it. That's fine. Most all the people on the earth have rejected the doctrine of original sin. You won't be the only one who doesn't agree with it. It is a very unpopular biblical truth. In many, many ways, what the Bible clearly teaches about original sin is profoundly and deeply troubling, and I understand that. But what you cannot do is say that the Bible doesn't teach it, because the Bible does teach it. And it teaches original sin in both of the parts that I have described to you today. So, if you choose to disbelieve original sin, you must know that you are disbelieving the Bible. And that doesn't put you at odds with me, dear friends. It puts you at odds with God. And we have another problem because the Christian church has taught original sin for over 1700 years in precisely the way that I have described it to you today. So, since the Bible does teach this, we who love the Lord Christ have an obligation and a duty to bow our knees to the authority of this book and submit our ways to God's ways and bring every thought into obedience to Jesus Christ, regardless of how troubling this part of Scripture may be to us. And by doing that, we bring our sacrifice of praise unto the Lord and we worship Him for His marvelous works. Now, believe it or not, everything that I have taught today is all going to tie into verse 24 and the fact that God will keep us by His great power from stumbling, but I'm out of time today. So please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the Epistle of Jude. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept, teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the Internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time, May the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.